Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SEL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hi everybody, and welcome to SEL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. This is show 195 for the 17th of June 2012, Father's Day. Now hopefully the audio quality on this episode should be quite a lot better than I've been doing recently. As you all know, I kind of do this show and everything really on a very, very tight budget, and I'm using a pair of headphones with a microphone that I got from the car boot sale for about £1 after breaking my previous good Plantronics ones. But I guess if you're still here after 195 episodes, you're pretty much used to below average sound quality with me recording it in the car on my phone and all sorts of things. And around about Christmas time, when I swapped over to Oliver, that's my son's old laptop, I plugged in the headphones I had with the microphone, but I was getting a lot of crackling. And what that means is when I record the podcast on Audacity, I have to use a noise removal tool, and that kind of sometimes works well, sometimes it doesn't. But what happens is normally when I'm talking, you can hear the noise then as like a zzz in the background. So what I thought I would do this week is use Oliver's new laptop to record the podcast to see if the audio quality is any better. And after doing a couple of little tests, I think it may well be a lot better, but I'll leave you to decide. If it is better and you think, my God, at last, it's actually sounding half decent, please drop me a line, drop me an email just saying that's good. Or in the show notes, actually, over at robnunphoto.com, which will be coming up this week. What I thought I'd do today is talk about a few things I actually got for my birthday yesterday. Hit the big 4-0. The usual word from our sponsor, GoToMeeting. And then a little bit about the HMS Sultan Summer Show, which me, Susanna and Oliver and Valentino, our grandchild, went to yesterday as well. So, yesterday, hit the big 40, 16th of June. It's weird, isn't it? Gosh, 40 years old. Life begins at 40, eh? Well, who knows? But what I did get, I got a few little photography things yesterday and today. The first thing, just little things, was a couple of lens hoods. I've talked about lens hoods in the past, but you know, in the olden days, there were these rubber things that would press on the front of your camera. But these days, they tend to be plastic. But I never had any for my Canon lenses. But what a lens hood does two things really. First thing, it protects the front of your lens from being bashed because it's a plastic cone, if you like, that sticks out the front. So that's very important. But the other thing it does is it stops light coming in from odd angles and bouncing around in the lens, and that can cause lens flare. Now, when I say lens flare or glare, I'm not talking about those little ringlets of light that you see in photographs where it looks quite nice and adds atmosphere to a photograph. Lens flare generally can just be a reduction in overall contrast, and sometimes this looks cool. In fact, for the Flickr photo assignment we're working on at the moment, the Kiss of the Sun one, a bit of lens flare can give the photo a nice vintage, a nice warm, a very good look, but sometimes you don't want it. And by using a hood, you can hopefully reduce some. So what I'll do over the next few weeks is I'll take some test shots, and you tend to find lens flare is more of an issue, well, it can be an issue with telephotos and wides actually, but I'll try and take some shots where maybe you can see the difference between a shot without a lens hood on and one with a lens hood. The little lens hood for the 18-55 Canon lens I've got is very, very small. It's probably only, I don't know, half an inch deep. But the one for the 55-250 is massive. It makes the lens twice as long when you put it on. Makes it look like a real pro lens. Always a bit of fun. But funnily enough, I chose not to take the lens hoods to the summer show yesterday, especially the big one, because I was a bit worried that I wouldn't be that familiar with flipping them over, because because they're plastic now. What you do is you mount them the wrong way on the lens when you're storing your camera, and then you take your camera out, flip the lens hood around the other way, and they're on like a bayonet fitting. But as this was the first day I would be using them, I was a bit reticent about taking them. So what I did instead was left them at home. But I was also a little bit worried about the fact that they make the lens look so large, and I didn't want to be wandering around looking like a pro. But that again is just about getting used to stuff. I got a new little Canon remote, my old Canon infrared remote, which is vital, I think, and very, very important for doing any sort of work with the cameras on a tripod, and you don't want to touch it, to be honest. Not just because you're not next to the camera, but because sometimes it's just easier to be wandering around your subject, especially when you're doing still lives or portraits, and just flicking your remote to fire the shutter. And I also got a nice little shoot-through umbrella, a white umbrella, with a umbrella clamp as well. Because I've talked about getting more flashes, haven't I, over the last few months, and I've been very, very lucky in the fact that I've got a wireless flash system. I've picked up 3 Yongnuo flashes over the last few weeks, and I've got a couple of other flashes as well. So in theory, if I use my wireless flash system, I could have 2 wireless flashes firing, say the Jessup's and the Miranda one, and then I could have the 3 other Yongnuo flashes, so I could have a 5 flash setup. Unfortunately, I never have enough batteries to do something like that. But I wanted to get a light modifier, so something that would soften the light. And the one thing that lots of these websites talk about, strobist, etc., is the fact that a shoot-through umbrella is often a good idea, because they're a lot cheaper than softboxes. They're easier to store. But you need a bracket to hold the flash that also holds the shoot-through umbrella. So I got one of those. And I kind of excitedly last night went to use it, and then discovered the fact that it wouldn't go on my tripod, because the brackets for light stands are different to the top of tripod. So I was like, oh, a bit gutted. But then I was thinking, oh, so I'm going to have to order something else off eBay, a little adapter. But then I went on, I think it's DIYphotography.net, very good site. They do lots of DIY stuff, for anything from ideas for shoots to actual hardware. And a guy there had just simply drilled a hole in his tripod mount on the top of his tripod and put a bolt through it that was the same size as the top of a light stand, and then just screwed the flash stroke umbrella bracket to it. And I thought, what a great idea. So about 9 o'clock, I went into the garage last night and I was like, right, what am I going to do? And then I spotted an old tripod that I've got that I've never used, because it's a video tripod, which means that it has a fluid head, so the head moves nice and smoothly, but it doesn't have pan and tilt. Well, it has pan, but you can't tilt it, so you can't put your camera in the portrait mode. I mean, I picked up the carbuk for about 5 and didn't notice this at the time. But what I did notice last night was that the handle that you use to do the panning was nice and chunky, a bit like the top of a light stand. So I got my hacksaw out, hacked the plastic handle off, and was left with this bar, which I could flick up vertically by tipping the base all the way along. And all of a sudden, I had the perfect place to mount my umbrella stroke flash mount on. So I was well chuffed with that. And it's quite a high tripod as well, so I could probably get it up to about 6 feet in the air. So that was very good. So I then quickly set it up downstairs in the dining room, trying to take doing some pictures of myself. But what I was doing is I was using the built-in optical slave flash system on the Yongnuo flashes. So the problem I had was that the onboard flash from my 350D was not only lighting me, it was lighting the background as well, which I didn't want. So I just did a few test shots just to get used to it. But what I did today was I set up my projector stand, which is the projector backing, in the garden, the nice white one, and I set up my umbrella stand with my flash on it, and I had a second flash lighting up the projector screen for my white background, and took some test shots of Oliver, and he took some test shots of me, but I was looking a bit rough because we've got Valentino, our grandson, over for the last couple of days, and he enjoys getting up in the middle of the night and screaming his head off, so we didn't get much sleep, so I was looking a bit tired, but I'll probably put one of those in the photo stream, or at least in the show notes over at robnumphoto.com, just to give you a quick idea of how what the umbrella does. Is it gives you a soft edged light which tends to wrap around your subject more, so it's a little bit more flattering. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of hard edge lighting anyway. I love that sort of edgy look, but using something like an umbrella to diffuse the light a little bit more, although it sucks a lot of the power away from your flash, it does produce a much nicer portrait. So I'm going to play around with that an awful lot. What I think I definitely need is probably a folding light stand, a nice light one that I could take with me. And if you're thinking about getting into all this stuff, I can't recommend David Hobby's Strobis site enough. It really is very good. If you go for his Lighting 101, I think it is, and he talks about all the basic kit you need. And you know, if you follow my example, you know, I got my flashes really cheap. They're Yongnuo ones. I paid a tenner. I mean, this is car boot prices, isn't it? But I paid a tenner for each for a couple of Yongnuo basic flashes, and then I've got the bigger one for 20 quid, and I got a couple of wireless flash triggers from eBay for 20 quid. And you know, you can get started very, very cheap. I mean, this stuff isn't going to be the toughest and roughest in the world, but it allows me to dip my toe into this realm of photography, of controlling light instead of using available light, just to have a bit of fun. That way. So, you know, watch this space as I try and come up with different types of things. Right, so now a quick word from our sponsor, which, as you well know, is GoToMeeting. Summer's coming, and that means many of us will be spending more time working from home or while travelling. So getting everyone together for a meeting may be an impossible task, but not if you have GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. GoToMeeting lets you host meetings with clients and colleagues face-to-face, all while online, no matter where they are. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Attendees can join from any computer, iPad, iPhone, or Android device by downloading the free app. All of you lot can try GoToMeeting with HD Faces free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast, then download the free app. One more thing, GoToMeeting is giving away 8 new iPads on Facebook. All you have to do is visit Facebook and like the GoToMeeting page, then you can enter to win a new iPad. And you can refer a friend. If they win the iPad, so do you. Check it out. Like GoToMeeting on Facebook and you could end up using it on a new iPad. I hope you win. And don't forget to try GoToMeeting free today. Thanks to GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SEL Photography Podcast. Right, so yesterday, HMS Sultan Summer Show. It has been absolutely chucking it down for the past 2 months here in the UK. This is one of the worst starts to summer in recorded history, after having quite a warm spring. And there's been quite a few washouts. The Queen's Jubilee last weekend was definitely a very rainy thing. And Gosport used to be, pretty much a navy town, because it is next to the big dockyard, and a lot of the sailors who worked in the dockyard or on ships lived in Gosport. There was also quite a few navy bases as well. These are navy bases based on land kind of thing. There's HMS Sultan, which is the engineering school of the navy, and HMS Collingwood, which is the electronics warfare version of it. And then you also had HMS Dolphin, which used to be where they used to have the submarines, and there was Daedalus, which was a Royal Naval Air Squadron base as well. But it's all kind of getting smaller and smaller now. But what HMS Sultan do is every year they have a summer show over 2 days, and it's all for raising money for charity. And it's very cheap to get in. I mean, yesterday it was £15 for the four of us. That was me, Suzanne, Oliver, and Valentino in his pushchair. And they have all sorts of displays on with with static displays with helicopters and things. You can climb in and out of them. There's fire engines to you know, there's a steam rally. There's a helicopter doing flying around the harbour, and they have like the central parade ground, I guess, showground, where they have other displays as well. So, for example, this year they had marching bands, motorbike team display, monster trucks as well, and they had some other things going on as well. And there's classic cars turn up, classic motorbikes. They have tombolas, all sorts of. There's a fair there as well with lots of grand. So it's a grand day out. It's pretty cheap, and it's nice to go along and kind of support it because it's all for charity. But obviously, it was like, ooh, you know, it's one of those camera situations. You know, what do you take? Because you're going to be on your feet for several hours, so you want to take as minimum as possible. So what I did was I kind of got my trusty LowPro. A photo runner bag out, which, you know, obviously take the 350D, take the 18-55, take the 55-250. As I said before, I whipped the big shades off, the big hoods, because I wasn't that au fait with taking them on and off yet. And then I went through the little pocket on the side, you know, I took out the polarizing filter, took out the ND filter, took out business cards and things. So I was just left with spare batteries and cleaning kits. I wanted it to be, and memory cards I left in there because I wanted it to be as light as possible. And as it was, it was a great day out. The sun stayed with us. It's great fun taking pictures of things in the central showground, especially the monster trucks. They were brilliant, and I'll put some pictures in the show notes. They're already on my Flickr feed already, so you can get an idea. And I got quite a good space to take pictures of. One thing I always forget to do though when I'm doing these things is, well, there's two things I forget to do. I always forget to play around with angles, you know, so tip the camera on its side to get a dynamic picture of a motorbike or of one of these big trucks coming around a corner, you know. And I always forget to play with shutter speed. You know, I've got, what I tend to do is, if I'm in a really rush situation where I don't really know what's going on, you know, I'm having to fire really, really fast, I'll quickly flick the camera to auto and then bang, 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 and shoot away. And then when I get enough time to see where I am, I'll go over to aperture priority, select my ISO, select my aperture depending on the depth of field, and I'll start shooting. But the one that I always forget is shutter priority, because varying your shutter speed gives you such a fantastic look when it comes to shooting moving things, especially vehicles, because a vehicle that's coming past you, if you go to shutter priority mode and set your shutter to like 1/125th of a second and pan with it, a number of things happen. You get blurred wheels because the wheels are spinning, and you get a blurred background, but the vehicle itself stays sharp because you're panning with it. And it means that the vehicles look like they're moving, where unfortunately in a lot of my shots, because the shutter speed is too high, it's like a thousandth of a second, 500th of a second, it's freezing everything, so the wheels don't look like they're turning. And so when a vehicle's coming past you and take a picture of it, it just looks like it's sat there. It could just be parked up, and that's something that I always forget. So next time I go out, I think what I'm going to have to do is just go over to shutter priority mode and just practice with shutter priority mode, you know, taking pictures of cars going around roundabouts and stuff, to get that, I'd get that sense of speed to bring in that side of my photography that I don't often play around with, which is the element of time, through using longer exposures on a tripod, etc., or using middle length exposures but panning with a subject to introduce different types of blur. Because there was a couple of quite nice pictures of the helicopter I took as it was coming overhead, but because as I flicked my camera up to point at the sky, the shutter speed went up to like 2/1000th of a second because the sky was bright, that meant it froze the action of the rotors. And a picture of a helicopter with frozen rotors is a bit naff, really. You want the blur in the rotors. Definitely something to think about. And the other good thing about the Southern Show is you have the bit where they're all in this central showground zooming around, and you get different displays, but then you walk around the static displays around the outside, like the motorbikes and the classic cars and the helicopters, and you can grab nice candid shots. And there's different challenges, you know, like when Suzanne and Oliver quickly went off with his mates and went on the fair, but like Suzanne with Valentino, they're inside a helicopter, so you've then got to think about, okay, they're inside, it's dark in there, I'm going to have to use a bit of flash to pop that up and generally make it good. But it was definitely a good day. Had lots of fun, and it was great to be out doing some really intensive shooting over a few days and having a lot of fun with Valentino and Susanna and Oliver as well. Me being 40 and all that. Okay, well, that's about it for this week. I think I've rambled on enough. Thanks, everybody, for taking part over at the Flickr photo group, putting your photos in the pool, adding your photos to the assignment. You know, remember, Flickr's free. Get on over there, join in. Thanks to Everyday Jones. They do the intro and outro music. You can find their stuff for free download at everydayjones.com. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.